The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
What is going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, episode 328. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? How's it going?
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Adam Vail.
A good week, everybody. Peace.
And Brian Majoma.
What up, what up, what up?
You already know, man. Throwdown is back with another one, man. Bread of the Wild is Bread of the Wild, man. We don't know where he am, where he is. He'll show up. He may not show up. Who knows? That's what he does, you know?
Chilling with the crickets or something.
He might be,
or tattooing, you know, something.
He might be tattooing crickets.
He might.
You know? All right. So, yeah, tonight we're not going to talk about any gaming shit. We're just going to talk about Godzilla for 5 hours. So,
You know? We're bringing back spoiler alert.
Yeah, we're bringing back spoiler alert, you know. And also got a couple announcements to make. I'm leaving the games industry. Manny's going to become an astronaut. Adam's going to go hunting a dinosaur. Carlos is going to go to the Bermuda Triangle to find some aliens. Chris, you know, he's going to, like, make a clone of Albert Einstein. And Brian, he's going to do some crazy, weird science shit.
MI6 stuff.
Yeah, MI6 stuff. Yeah, because it's April Fool's, so we got to, you know, play up the act. You know, Gary almost
really
got me.
Good job. We're doing a really good job of that.
Yeah, Gary almost got me, man. Thing? Yeah, Gary almost got me though, man.
Yeah, man, what
happened? I love you, Gary, but you almost got me, man. He posted a picture. It's like, oh man, that new Deus Ex looks better than Cyberpunk. Like, they got a new Deus Ex? And then it's like, oh fuck. And I remember the date. You know.
Oh, by the way, shout out to Barry Burton for subscribing again.
Yay, man.
Yo, man, Barry Burton, but Barry Burton's always here for us because he's watching the room.
Yeah, Paiku Han, what's going on, man? By the way, my boy Jose, JVB, he got caught too. He got caught by David Jaffe, of all people. David Jaffe.
Oh, really?
David Jaffe's on Twitter raving about how much he loves Death Stranding and how wrong he was about the game. He's like, the game is fantastic. And he's like, oh shit, look at this. I'm like, hey, that's a joke, bro. Like, look how he's purposely misspelling shit and not putting spaces between periods. It's a joke. It's like, oh man, he got me. You know?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't really have anything to add before the show, so we just jump into it, man. Another light week. You know, like I was telling Manny, no megatons, no microtons. It was just tons. I don't know what we would call
or
it. Just
not really a ton, more like really ton, just flow,
couple of pounds,
just news, you know? Flow.
Yeah, couple some things pounds. Happen, but it was a whack week.
some people here,
you know. Oh shit, let me get the Chirons ready. But we're gonna circle
Chiron
with the featured image here, because this was literally like the most noteworthy thing, just because it's funny to us, you know. Plus, we get to talk about Jeff Keighley, you know.
Excuse me?
A lot of people don't know the history of that saying. That's actually Jeff Keighley, man. You know? filtered through Torrance Davis, obviously. Real quick,
yes.
While I set things up. So, this was years ago, and I don't remember what the subject was, but Torrance Davis, our mentor, collective mentor, he was throwing a bunch of tweets at Jeff, you know, trying to rile him up. Jeff wasn't biting. And then he called him a kiss ass or something really foul. And then Jeff Keighley replied with, excuse me. So that week on Warzone, right, the podcast that Torrance hosted, he was recounting the story. He's like, yeah, I told Jeff Keighley to, you know, stop kissing ass. And he replied with, excuse me. So that's where we got that from, you know. So shout out to Torrance, man, and Jeff Keighley too.
Did Keighley block him?
Yeah. Oh yeah. He blocked him.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people block Torrance, you know. Then again, a lot of people block me too. So you know, that's just the way
Torrance can be a bit trolly, though.
Yeah, we learned that at E3 the first year. You know, I don't know if we want to tell that story on air, but Manny and I were like, yo, what is he doing right now, man? Torrance.
No.
Oh, man. All right, let's get into it, man. So, yeah, let's talk about E3. So, we had a little bit of a snafu with E3 today, a little bit of drama on Twitters. So, a report came out that, or it was like a leaked document or some shit like that, that E3 was going to be a digital event. We already knew that, but it was going to charge customers, or they were proposing to charge customers $35 to play the game demos that they're going to stream, I believe, with the help of NVIDIA, right? Everybody got pissed off, obviously. They're like, what the fuck, you know? Mm-hmm. But there were, you know, we'll talk about this in greater detail. Some journalists were saying, like, hey, that makes sense. That's good, you know? And then the fucking ESA had to come up like, no. We're not charging nobody. We ain't charging nobody. But the funny thing is the document specifically said they want to propose this, get it out there, the $35. And if people don't like it, then they'll roll it back. Well, it's exactly what they did, you know? So Manny, what are your thoughts? You know, you can just pretty much tell the people what you told me on the phone when I told you this shit.
I mean, you know, it's I totally forgot what I said, but yeah, it's kind of silly. Like, why are you going to, you know, they already are not in good graces. Oh, you know, not in good graces with people already. And they're literally going to test the waters by charging for people to use to get this demo service. It's the silliest thing I've ever heard, you know?
Yeah.
And especially when it comes to like, yeah. And for what do you, you know, like you can't like you think about like, you know, paid demos. Remember when Xbox and PlayStation said they were going to give you demos, special demos to come with their PlayStation Plus or Xbox, whatever happened to that?
Xbox did it. Hey, they did it.
You know, I mean, are people really talking about it?
Miss it, bro.
I mean, with the things that are available, like they're not offering stuff like Halo or anything like that, like stuff that people really want to play. Like, it's just sort of like, whatever. And, you know, again, we're talking about, the ESA trying to figure out ways to kind of generate money when the web is kind of a different animal when it comes to this stuff. You can't have people going to places. You're going to charge people to play a demo when you can literally watch Jeff Keighley's thing totally for free.
Yeah. Oh, and our boy Jeff Keighley, speaking about him, he threw some shade. He said Summer Games Fest will be free. He threw that shit right out there, you know?
You know, and it's funny. It's funny. It's interesting to see Jeff Keighley get ballsy when he's not beholden to the man.
Mm.
Under normal circumstances, homeboy would not say a damn thing if he was still working under that E3 umbrella. But now he's got a little pep in his step. He got, you know, now he's got his own show. Now he can talk some smack.
Yeah, man. Carlos, I know you had some shit to say about this, man, about Jeff Keighley.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this last year when the whole thing went out with Jeff Keighley sent this message saying that he's not going to be in E3 for the first time in more than a decade. It was a long time he's been at E3.
Yeah, like 15 E3s. And we should note that Jeff Keighley announced this before the lockdown.
Right. So this was post. This was pre. Maybe what, March? Maybe February.
Yeah, this was like late January. He made that statement, man. It was like a good chunk of time. So yeah.
So I said this then. I'm like, he's not leaving because I forgot what his excuse was, to be honest. Cause I thought it was bullshit from the beginning. Bro. Like I knew from then. I knew that the reason why he left is because he always wanted to do his own shit. You know, he wanted it to have his VGX summer. And ironically enough, it's called Summer Games Festival. And it turned out to be. So, you know, this whole thing, it's like he talked a lot about how much E3 meant to him and all of that stuff. And with the stuff that he tweeted today, it was a good I can't lie. It was a good, really good diss at the ESA. But I'm like, man, you know. This, you know, like he's trying to do whatever he can, even if it's some petty shit to, you know, to spring his stuff in, like to propel. It's like, oh, summer of games is, you know, not going to charge any money. Wink, wink.
So popping his collar and shit, you know.
Yeah. So, you know, he's never, in terms of integrity, like I've never really taken Jeff Keighley that seriously. Like, he's always like that type of, you know, grifter dude that he's just trying to make his own thing and, you know, make his name known in the industry and make as much money as he can, which is his prerogative, you know, good for him. You know, I think he's still, there's still salt between him and the ESA because I don't know, maybe he wanted them to change the name from E3 to Jeff Keighley and E3 or something. I have no clue what the hell went back those back doors, but you know, something went sour and now he's, you know, he's taking pot shots at them. So it is what it is, man.
But he's got some pochinches, son.
He's got that pochinche. You know, some G-Smith going on in the background, man. You know, Chris, what's your take on this, man? You know, the whole proposal of charging people and then, you know, the subsequent, like, shutting down of it.
Well, I mean, it was stupid to begin with to charge people to download demos for a digital event. You really have no event. Well, you have people gathering to watch streams and download demos. That's what you were going to charge for? That's bullshit. Mm-hmm. That's a bullshit idea to begin with. What you do is, like, don't... Well, first of all, you shouldn't be trying to bilk people. What you have to do is work out sponsorships and advertising deals and whatever with different publishers and developers to promote certain titles. You get them to pay in or whatever. And that's how you subsidize the cost to... stream to people and then have no, you just come in, you know, hey, it's free, you know, whatever. That should have been from the get go. But because these guys are all about making money, mm-hmm. like, you know, they just decided to bilk people until they got backlash. And of course, you got backlash. What the fuck do you think? You're not in a LA convention center with your whole spread and giant booths and demo stations. What, the experience is gone. Can't charge people to watch, to sit at their computer, something they're doing already anyway.
Yeah,
the fuck is the point? Like, you have Nintendo Directs, you have State of Plays, we have Xbox events online. What do I need you for? I'm gonna pay $35 for the honor of, you know, watching the ESA give me information. Fuck them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the whole thing was just stupid, you know, because nobody else, you know, is doing this shit, like charging money for what? Like, I know they're supposed to have like streaming demos. I don't think that's enough, man. You know.
Well, I mean, again, it's like, yeah. Well, they're trying to, you know, I guess make some sort of deals to get streaming demos. But even then, you shouldn't be charging people for that either.
Yeah.
Again, right. get as many people on there. You know, advertise Coca-Cola, whatever. I mean, friggin' Keighley does the damn thing. I mean, you can't even sit 1 second without getting bombarded with like 10 ads for other video games. So come on, guys, get that ad space. Yeah, get as many as you can.
And what Chris said is absolutely true. Like, the ESA is just as money hungry as, you know, everyone else is. Mm-hmm. And they're, you know, E3 as an event, for most people, E3 is not the show floor, is not like, you know, all that stuff that, you know, Manny, Tony, Chris, all you guys have been there. Like, that part of the E3 is the part that means the most to the ESA. Because that's where they get all their money. Like, they don't get money off of the excitement of the whole event. You know, people, like I mentioned before, 99% of the rest of the world that loved E3 only experienced it as a digital event. Even companies that didn't, you know, subscribe to like to the ESA's thing and said, oh, we're not gonna put our stuff in your show floor. We're gonna do our own separate thing in a theater or downtown or something. So, you know, ESA doesn't really care about that stuff. All they care about is how much, like, how can we make this money from, you know, that can replace the money that we were making back when we had the show floor and all these people paying all these ticket prices and food and all this other stuff. And, you know, then the companies were paying for space to show their games there. So, like, how can we make that money? How can we recuperate that money? And that's all this is about. It's not about E3 as an event. It's not about the games. It's not about none of that stuff. It's all about the money at the end of the day. Yeah. So this whole digital event, you know, this whole, like, if the ESA can't make money off of it, there's really no point for the ESA. So, and that's the same for most of the events. That's the Summer Games Festival. That's the reason why Jeff Keighley does it, because he's, you know, he's probably going to get a lot of ad revenue and a lot of other stuff that's going to make him ton of bank.
I think the thing about it is like the in general, when it comes to events, is that E3 could have been the one that sort of changed things, but they had such a pedestrian way of thinking of a show. They literally tried to walk the line between an industry show and a fan show. And instead of looking at what everybody else is doing around the world, they literally did it the most stupidest way they could possibly have ever done it. Where you literally have places like Gamescom and you have Tokyo Game Show who do the exact same thing, somehow manage to find a balance between the industry show and the fan show and the fan show or the public show. But yet and all, E3 couldn't do it.
PAX as well. They had their shit right.
PAX. Well, I mean, here's the thing. Like, PAX is open to the public show, which also has the other part. It wasn't an industry show first.
No, it wasn't an industry
show. Like every other show.
But every PAX I've been to, I was able to do my work just fine, you know? Not like when E3 opened up to the public. That was a mess.
Yeah, exactly. Again, they look at like the way PAX sort of does it. Like who's goes in first, who to get, and then who's to get to play, stuff like that. But it does, like, you literally when the last few years of E3, what was it? It was like separation of church and state. All the journalists were all up on the top in the meeting rooms, and then everybody else was all on the bottom. Yeah. And you barely went down to the show floor.
Yeah, because the first year, it was just all mingled up. It was a mess. The second year, it was like, yeah, the journalists were all on the top floors. Everybody was on the bottom floors. It was fantastic. You know, I got to do all my shit. Didn't have to worry about, you know, all the people and stuff. It was good. But that first year was terrible. Mm-hmm. But again, it's like, it's like these guys are trying to reinvent the fucking
wheel. That wasn't
even
a fan show.
No, it actually was. 2017 was a fan show.
Nope. 2013, I'm talking about.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That was fine. That was fine. That, again, I've said this before, but I'll say it again, right? That first E3 that I went to, I didn't have a single appointment, right? It was great. I went to every booth, played whatever I wanted, no problems. A journalist in my position in 2013 and 2018 or whatever would not have been able to do that, you know, because all the fans were storming around. But again, it's like, why the hell? And we said this when this originally happened, why the hell was the ESA trying to reinvent the wheel when they already had Gamescom and Tokyo Game Show and PAX as examples? Why are they starting like, we're going to try to see how this works? What do you mean you're going to try? It's already working. Do that. Just copy those motherfuckers.
Yeah. Call one of those motherfuckers up. Yeah, be like, yo, what's up? Yeah. How we do this?
It's like, yo, listen, I'm trying to invent this thing called wheel, man. I heard you made that shit. How do you do it? All right, you chisel this motherfucker. You make it round. You know? Like, come on, man. You know? It's like fucking Nintendo trying
man,
to
we're
learn
making
shit.
It, we're going to make it a hexagon.
Yeah, right? We're going to try it. But yeah, like I said, E3, that shit is done. Irrelevant. Completely irrelevant in the digital age, as we saw last year.
Here's the thing. Maybe somebody can come in there and figure out how to do this space the right way.
I'm gonna say this.
Because I feel like now.
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say. No, go. I here's the thing. I don't, and I'm glad you said that because I don't want people mistaking what I'm trying to say. I'm not saying there shouldn't be a gaming event. There should be. I just think the ESA is. Their time is done. Let somebody else do it and do it right. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what I think should happen. I think it, you know, as we learned last year, we had an entire month, or not a month, an entire season of gaming news, and it was so fucking exhausting. You know, I want it to be a week of concentrated gaming news, but it doesn't have to be E3. It could be something else. It served the same function as E3. But just under a different banner with different management, you know?
Remember there was another show that was trying to come up for a while. It was called Game Something. I can't remember what it was. It did like 1 or 2 years, and then it just sort of fell apart.
Remember when E3 tried to do like an offshoot, like E3 for you? That shit didn't last, you know?
Oh, yeah.
It's a bullshit.
Yeah, all their junk that they try to do on the outside.
Yeah, that's how it is, man. Any last thoughts on this? Adam, you got anything to say? Nope.
Let them go.
So
we're done. It's everything has changed. It's one of those things. I was just talking about it with my daughter. She was at one of her friend's house. I'm saying, oh, you know what? They have the what are these things? The discs. I was like, oh, DVDs. Yeah, they got a bunch of those. They use that. They don't just do all the digital stuff like us. What's up with that? it's the way it is. Some people haven't moved on, and that's the same shit here. It's like they're trying to figure out and scramble ways to make money and come up with these shitty ideas, but sometimes you just got to accept that this is the progression. This is how things are going.
Yeah. No, you're right about that.
Adam.
Oh.
Adam, did you want to go to E3 last year?
Last year I did want to go. Yeah, went to go with everybody.
Because you were supposed to meet. To like, be on the like, list. Yeah. Like five
I'm not going to get banned this year.
Yeah. I'm going to get banned. Yeah, we had it planned out. It was going to be like me, Adam, Manny, Chris, and probably Carlos too. You know, meeting up there. But you know, fuck the Rona. You know, I was gonna blame the country responsible, but we're not allowed to do that. You know,
I was looking for I was looking forward to like meeting you guys. I mean, I met some of you guys.
Yeah, you already know, man.
Seeing the fellas, meeting Chris, meeting Adam, meeting the E3 committee.
The E3 committee.
Yeah, man. What could have been, man? What could have been?
Could have bumped. Could have seen Carl. Seen the coalition folks.
Yeah, man. Rich and Gary. You know.
Rich and Gary.
And JJ. You know?
Oh, yeah, you might see JJ, and then he goes running out the other way because he got other things to do. You know, usual stuff. He's a busy man.
Yeah, he is busy. He is busy, you know? Oh, man. All right, let's move on. All right, this next story related. Probably won't spend too much time on it. Tokyo Game Show. Yes, all digital event. They're not even fucking around. Like, yep, digital, free. You know, but here's the interesting thing. They will still have a live portion there. It's going to be a special like event for journalists and streamers to test out some new games. So kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. But for the public, no, they're not even doing that.
Is it the same process that Comic-Con, San Diego Comic-Con is doing?
I don't know. What are they doing?
I saw they mentioned that they plan on doing limited live events, and I figured it was just for industry folk.
Yeah,
but it was going to be digital, but they were going to have some kind of limited experience for in person. But remember, as you see in New York, you got to have that app, the Excelsior. Was that it? The Excelsior app that for scanning to make sure that you had the vaccine.
Oh yeah, they're going to do that. Yeah. Shit.
The Masquer Garden, Barclays, a few other ones are doing it, and I'm sure they're going to try to pick that up too. And that's what they probably mean by a limited event. Once they announce it, it's probably going to be that type of thing. It's like, go ahead, get your ticket, but you better have had your vaccine, because once you show up, when you scan with the app, if it doesn't put green and show a little happy guy, you can't come in. That's what it is. If you see a picture, it's like a little happy dude.
I got vaccinated.
Exactly. So there you go. So I think it's going to be
something like that. But what if you tap your car, you walk around with your vaccination card?
Why don't you just fucking staple that shit to your head, you know, like to your forehead, you know?
Make a t-shirt. You just have the t-shirt with the thing on there, like, yeah. There you go.
Yeah, right. But then the guy selling the oranges at the stoplight, he could also sell those shirts, and then next you owe everybody. You got a t-shirt, oranges.
My friend, you want vaccination? You know, $3, you know.
Get those canapas going with
canapas, right?
under the counter in the bodegas and shit.
Yeah.
That's it. With some next to some green bananas. And it's like, so, yo, you got that Rona shot shirt? Yeah, we got it. Thank you.
This is bad. She's like, hey, man, you want the Rona shirt? And they see me and Carlos coming. Mira, mira, tú quieres tacar cabeza.
We laugh, but you know that's going to be a thing. You know somebody's going to try to scam it. And make
you already know, man. Like, you got to get your shit laminated to make sure it's the real thing.
I think Spain started first with doing it with the airlines. Like, if you want to fly there, you have to through their app, and they have to verify. Even when you get off the plane, they scan you before
you leave the airport. What the fuck?
Yeah, so you could have been like, what if you caught it on the flight? It's like, yo, I swear I was green when I got
here. I was green when I got here, man.
Go back. That's it. You out.
Yo, send Julio back, man, to Madrid, son. Fuck that. You know?
No running with the Bulls this year for you. Go home.
You're going to test the Bulls too? You know, they took the antibodies and shit. You know? That's a whole other topic. Like, how crazy when you go, yo, vaccinate your fucking dog too? You know? I don't know.
I mean, it's still
what if it's... Okay,
Yeah.
with the app, right? Well, okay, you get over there, you turn red. Right? You go in green, then you come in red, right? But then how do you get back? You have to get back on the plane, or do you have to keep being quarantined in the place that you were in?
I mean, it's not like that. They're not going to – it's whatever the app already says. It's not going to change. They'll do a temperature check or whatever, but, that would be really crazy if all of a sudden you turn fucking burning hot, and then they're like, we got to give you another test.
How does even a temperature check work? Because it's like – I was running here.
Yeah, it looks like a speedometer. You know, I've had that done to me and shit.
Let's say you're running into the plane. I swear, man, like I sweat like a pig when I go through all that shit, right? And then like I come through the thing, I always get patted down because they're like, oh, we found some wet spots on you. I'm like, yeah, motherfucker, I'm sweating. Forget,
once you show up, all the
shit on the gloves.
That's why I'm
like,
oh my god.
My face isn't a little sweaty, but my back is all sweaty and I'm holding all this junk.
Lord. Who's this sweaty?
Come on, man.
Who's this sweaty brown motherfucker?
Who's trying to get sweaty on the plane? Puerto Rican man?
That dude is definitely
this sick. Sweaty brown man wanted to get on the plane.
See, this heat and cannot be moved. I am not sitting next to this fool. I made it a whole year and I'm not giving it up.
Yo, imagine that shit. You get seated next to some dude who's breathing heavy as shit. You like, bruh, you better chill with that. You know? Oh my god.
I'm not breathing heavy. I'm just sweaty.
Yeah, no, not you. I'm talking about, like, imagine just in general. You get seated some big dude. You know what I'm saying? Some sweaty motherfucker. Hairy.
But Manny, you know, I can see it now. You're sweaty. You get on the flight. Right? The guy looks next to you. He's all concerned. But don't worry. Don't worry. It's like, I was just running. It's like, oh, okay. I wasn't sure. And then you could just, it's honest. But I already had the virus. So I should.
I already had the virus. And they'll be like,
exactly. So it's like,
yeah, right? Oh, man. Yo, I don't even know what the fuck we were even talking about, man.
We were talking about getting into the event.
Oh, yeah, Tokyo Game Show.
Events and E3s and live events.
There you go. Man, it's all related, you know?
It is, because it's how
you're probably going to need a Rona card, you know?
Here's the next step. We're already seeing the future of all this, because in Israel, they already pushed this app across the board for restaurants, movie theaters, everything. But here's the problem, and this is what we might see with all these events. Is that if you want to go to these restaurants and movie theaters, you can get your tickets in advance, but of course you got to verify that you've taken your shot. And it's putting up signs, don't even bother if you haven't been vaccinated. So now it's causing that divide, that social divide of people who's like, well, you're forcing me now to get this. What if I don't want to get it? What if I already had the virus? Now I'm letting my own antibodies and build that immunity up. I don't want your damn shot. Well, then you can never go to the movie theater here again. You could never go to this restaurant again. That's just what they're doing. They're building that divide. So we could see some fucked up shit like that start spawning off, because, you know, people out here don't even want to wear a mask. God forbid you start telling them that they got to go get a shot and get an app for the shot. People are gonna
go. That sounds like a making of a horror movie right there, you know?
That's what's going on right now.
I think that it was already a horror movie.
Yeah, like you didn't get vaccinated. You know?
Yeah. Hey, this guy's infected. Let's beat him up. What? That doesn't make any sense.
Get him. You know?
He's infected.
Wasn't that the Philadelphia when he called?
Carl shows up.
Carl?
Carl shows up. He's infected. We're all infected.
Carl. You beat Rick Grimes.
Yeah, Rick Grimes. There we go. Rick Grimes shows up. He's like, Carl. You're all infected.
Yeah.
Carl, he's infected.
Then Daryl shows up, you know, from fucking Death Stranding and shit. You got to wear this suit.
He's like, you got to put this suit on.
Yeah, but it's definitely going to be interesting to see how all this plans out with these events. But, you know, we'll see. I think, but I'm curious about the San Diego. I mean, I don't know anyone that's out there in California. Anyone here? No one's here in California. Nah. You know, because I don't know anyone that's going to fly out there to do one event. You know, it's like, oh, we're going to have this one meet and greet where what's the dude from Superman that always shows up at all these events? You know what I'm talking about. The guy, what was it? Was it Lois and Clark? That dude.
Dean Cain, right?
He shows up at every. Dean Cain.
The one Superman no one likes anymore.
Yeah.
They used to like him. How you going to hate on the only Japanese Superman? Just saying.
Almost every damn fucking Comic-Con I've been to, even the one out in the Midwest, and I'm looking at the sheet of all the, the special guests. I'm like, dude, D-Kane, he's here too. Yeah. The fucking dude. He'll go anywhere. He is milking that Superman.
Well, he kind of just sort of fell off. You know, like I think he's like police or something. Like he's a cop or something. Like he's totally given up on acting.
Well, he can't get a job anymore, you know?
That was it for him. I don't know him from anything else.
Yeah.
What else did he do?
He did some other stuff.
Other than being in a different world.
Yeah, he came back on Supergirl. He was playing her father, you know?
Oh.
Because Supergirl did that. They always kept bringing back the older Superman actors. Anyway, Tokyo Game Show. There you go. All right, let's move on to the next.
Before you go, do we know if PAX East and West, are they doing any live?
Yeah, digital.
It's all digital.
Yeah, PAX is doing digital shows.
Digital.
PAX East will be replaced with PAX Online when it takes place in July. So there you go.
Yeah. Well, you know what? That'll be still fun. I'll do some interviews that way. I'm sure I can.
Well, I don't know about the one thing about digital events, like, you know, part, at least for you know, press events aside, right?
Yeah.
You got to put that on.
Well, to interject real quick, it's related. Well, not related, actually. It's off topic. But I got the Rona shot today, right?
Yeah.
Got the Pfizer.
Mm-hmm.
Always bragging. Look at this dude.
Yo, man, where's that car, man? Where's the sticker? I don't see you on social media showing off your sticker.
I got the shot.
I'll get the card from Jose in a couple of weeks. Don't worry. So I called my mom, and because she got the shot, and she's like, I told her, yeah, I got the shot, and my arm's kind of like hurting a little bit. Well, not like it's super sore, and it's like, oh yeah, put some Viva Peru on it.
Viva Peru, there you go.
Oh my god, right. It's like Adam. It's like gotta have some. It's god. Always
working. Is it the first one or the second one? Because they said if the second one hurts, that means the first one worked. If it doesn't work, if it doesn't hurt, then it's not working.
It's the first one, yeah.
It's the first one. Right. So your second one, you should be in a lot of pain. Come the second.
The second one's the one that fucks you up.
That's good. Yeah. That's good. Because it's your body seeing it and then freaking out. And be like, wait, what's this? And it's doing like the pat down. Imagine that. Someone just freaking touching you like crazy because they're paranoid. That's what that's supposed to represent. So like, yeah, you're supposed to feel shitty. If you don't, then something's wrong.
Hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
To go back on the
online thing.
On the online events. Like, the only thing, like, you know, again, press events aside, but you know, for something that's like a PAX, which was more of a fan event, which is more also like a Comic-Con, which is more of a regular goers event. Does anybody even bother with any of that stuff?
People went to that SDCC shit last year, you know, that online
event. Did they? Yeah. I don't know how many, because I've seen some of those things, and like, you know, I've popped into some of those things, and their numbers are not even close to somebody like a fucking Ninja.
Yeah, of course.
More people.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Way more people. Ninja has way more people that follow him.
Yeah, but to be honest, more people watched Ninja than attended these events in real life.
Yeah, but saying, like, even so, like, it's not, they're kind of lousy numbers.
Yeah, well, they were boasting. They're like, oh, we had great numbers.
Yeah, you know? Maybe they were expecting, they had low expectations, but those weren't very good numbers.
Yeah.
And, like, again, who, like, watch this interview or what, like the part of the, at least part of what going to an actual event is the actual event. Now, what is there?
But what's the alternative? That is the alternative. You can't
go. That is the alternative. Yeah. You can't really go anywhere. Yeah. And I'm like, to be honest, it's like, I have absolutely, like, you know, what interests I have in a lot of the, I don't have any interest in watching somebody, you know, some YouTube video about that. I'm really, it's like, okay, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. There's Brett.
Who that?
All right, just in time, so you can shit on CD Projekt Red.
Oh.
All right, so speaking about Brian's favorite company, so CD Projekt Red announced that starting in 2022, they're going to start developing the next Witcher and Cyberpunk games. So
there's going to be another Cyberpunk?
Yeah, they said they're starting. I was surprised by that. I'm like, okay. So, yeah. So, Brett, what do you think about that, man, since you popped up?
Uh,
congratulations on not going bankrupt. Thumbs up.
Oh shit.
I can't believe. Honestly, my reaction is, you have the audacity to talk about Cyberpunk 2 now? You haven't finished the first one.
Yeah, they have not. But, you know, Manny and I were talking about this. This is really telling the investors what they have going. Let's just be real here, you know?
Yeah, it's literally, it's not, that's information that's not for us. That's more for the investors to be like, hey, oh, we're still making things. But at the same time, it just, the forward-facing part of it is just like, come on, guys, really? Do we really care? At this point, do we really care if there's going to be a Witcher 5 or a new Cyberpunk game? No. We want to hear is that we fixed all the shit that was broken on this thing, and now it's an actual working game. And hey, look, it just appeared on the PlayStation's the 4 store.
Is it there?
No, it's not.
The game isn't even allowed to be for sale on Sony, and they're talking about it. Like, even as an investor, that would worry me. I'd be like, wow, that is really poor planning. You're still getting all of this negative press from how bad your game is. You need to come back, and you need to work on your fundamentals and build your core audience again. Build your diehards, and they'll evangelize you against the rest of the people, which will help save your reputation and brand. You need to work on pleasing your customers right now. Because believe it or not, what people talk about to each other and on things like this podcast sometimes matter, right?
Also, like, let's just also be clear. Life of Black Tiger is on there.
it's still on PSN. That's right.
And that game is broken beyond compare. And yet that game didn't get pulled off. That's because nobody was buying it, and it didn't have a giant red flag on it
It was an overhyped, you know.
Yeah. Who would invest in this right now? Like, I'm curious to hear Chris's thoughts, because you know, this even sounds like just a bad, straightforward business. Like, if I were looking at maybe like being like buying the dip on CD Projekt Red, right? Like, I was like, okay, well, the company's not doing so well. Now's a chance to get their stock super cheap, because they're going to bounce back because you know fans love them and all that stuff. That would be one thing. That's to be told that you're like, even as an investor, like, hey, come buy stocks. We're working on the sequel. Like, well, didn't you not finish the first one yet? Oh, no, it's not done. Well, aren't people still mad at you? Oh, yeah, real pissed. Aren't you not even allowed to be on sale on Sony yet? Oh, yeah, they took us off totally.
Why the fuck? All the negatives, man. Think of the positives. We just said we're going to make some new shit. That should be enough.
It wasn't an April Fool's, right, the Tony?
No, this was from earlier this week that this came out.
Okay.
Yeah, this report is from Tuesday. Came out on Tuesday, so
April Fool's. We saw that one. It was a developer that talked about the patch, the big one that came out, and then they were asked. It was like, well, when are you going to be back on the Sony store? And he's like, that's not up to us. It's up to Sony.
Yeah, it's not up to them. Yeah.
They said it's up to them. So they said that they see the patches as well, so it's all depends. They're like, one day it could be there. That's it, but they have no control over that.
So something that happened was also the CD Projekt Red went and bought a new studio.
Yeah.
Oh, the Canadian studio?
Yeah, bought that Canadian studio.
Interesting.
So I severely hope that they're not going to be rolling off some part of it to someone else so they can work on something else.
It totally feels like somebody like, we need to bring in some outside help to help us get this.
Fix this thing?
Yeah, and so, you know, why don't we just acquire some outside help?
They're like, we're bleeding developers! Where are they all going? Let's get another studio.
Yeah. Well, everybody that knew what was going on left. Somebody get it, buy a studio.
Yeah, a non-partisan, unbiased studio. Oh, yeah, everything was fine. Nobody was unhappy.
Yeah, so right here. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say that they could just use that as their excuse. It was like, didn't you hear? We just saw a new studio. All new people. They're going to fix everything.
They're going to fix it.
It's going to be butters.
It'd be great.
But yeah, they were just talking about how, they're ready. They're also getting ready to upgrade their engine. By the way, they didn't say that, you know, that it's going to be Witcher 4 or Cyberpunk to it. They said the next installments in those franchises, they're going to start working on them simultaneously, and they're going to share development between both of them. So
yeah. That sounds like a bad idea.
Yeah. It's like focus on one game first, bro.
Yeah. You guys... It's like we saw how the one game focus turned out. You know, maybe better.
So they literally hired this company to take on either one of those franchises.
I don't know about that. This report here doesn't mention that company.
But you said something about sharing or something.
The developers that are working inside of CD Projekt Red are going to be going back and forth between the games, you know?
Oh, come on. That is horrible.
These people can come in and help fix the Cyberpunk team.
This specific thing doesn't mention that other studio.
That is a horrible idea.
Yeah, this is what I think they're doing. So, like Manny said, they buy this Canadian studio. They're going to dump off Cyberpunk 2077 on these guys. They're going to be like, here's the bug report. Here's the patches we're working on. Here's everything. Here's the assets. Fix it, right? And they go forward. They do a split focus between the next Witcher, whatever that is. And then, it seems like a bad idea. Don't do another Cyberpunk game yet since you are now having to still fix the first one. I would say, hey, let that settle and just work on Witcher. Like, it should be a single focus. And, if you wanted to dabble or do a spin-off thing, like do something like Gwent that's small that you could just throw out easily. And you,
did that work out?
Really hard to,
people play it?
I mean, it made money. People liked that part of Witcher. There were people who were just playing Witcher 3 just to play Gwent. So they just spun it off into its own thing. Card games are popular, but it seems to be a really bad idea that you're going to do an A-B split with your developers and have them, because how do you focus on one thing? If I had to do modeling for Witcher doesn't look anything like Cyberpunk. So then it's like, all right, after, you know, this quarter, you jump on working on the city models. What the fuck? Like, that's weird. I don't get that logic. You know, and it seems to me that they're trying to appear like Cyberpunk didn't phase them, even though we know that it did, and we know there's lawsuits, we know there's the whole backlash. Sony won't even carry the game, so you can't just go, oh, we're still moving forward, we're gonna have all this stuff. You don't have the trust. Just saying that maybe makes a couple of investors happy that it's like, oh, okay, they're still moving forward with development and stuff. Who's going to buy it? Who's going to trust? Who's going to pre-order? Who's going to get your numbers up the next time you try to pull shenanigans to get your quarterly numbers to look good? Nobody.
Shenanigans.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Any other thoughts on this? Brian, what do you have to say, man?
I don't know. I'm slightly mixed on this. I don't see it as doom and gloom like some people on this panel do, because it seems like anything that CD Projekt Red does is doom and gloom. Like a single developer leaves, suddenly the end of the world.
Welcome to the club that I've been in for years, Brian, with Fallout.
Well,
was going to fail, though.
I didn't bring up Bethesda in this conversation. I just want to add.
I'm just saying, welcome to the pit.
I just don't see it as doom and gloom. To me, it just seems like they just want to expand. I'm guessing they have lots of projects on the go and just need more hands on deck. So if I were to have a best guess as to what's going on, I would guess that there's already the CD Projekt Red guys that are dealing with the Cyberpunk. And then we have the ones that are fixing Cyberpunk, the ones that are adding expansions to Cyberpunk. And then you have a team for up-and-coming R&D stuff. So they're looking into fixing, how they can iterate on the engine, what other stuff they can look into, so like prototype stuff. And then maybe some companies want to say, hey, let's give you these things. So hence, they just need a bit more hands on deck to try and cover all the bases. That is the way that I see this. All
right.
So, again, we'll just wait and see. They mentioned that they already have three studios in Poland. So hence, this would be like their fourth studio in total. So it just seems like they're just trying to get more hands on deck because they have lots of stuff on the go and just need more manpower, which is fair enough. Right, well, we want them to fix their shit. So,
was government dropped that lawsuit? Weren't they suing them for something?
Well, investors were suing them.
Investors.
But here's the thing. Is that the answer to this problem, right? Did they do a proper post-mortem after all the backlash and go, oh, what we failed in was we lacked manpower. It seems to me that they didn't lack manpower. There was a top-down problem. There was a management and decision issue that went into every failing of the development of Cyberpunk. So if you have those same people at the top, how is adding manpower going to fix it?
Probably not. With those type of problems, you can never fix it with adding more manpower. Again, it just seems like, from my perspective, they just want to take on, or not they want to, they are being put in a position where they need to take on more stuff. So hence, right. They think we need more manpower to take on all this extra stuff that we have going on. Which is true, that they're not really fixing the problem, which is that the top-down management is terrible.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to me like this is the old fallacy. It's like, well, if you get nine women pregnant, you get a baby in a month. That's not how this works. But they're approaching it like that. Like, if we just throw people at this issue. No, that's not the thing. And that also extends things. If I add 40 guys to a development cycle, well, guess what? Those 40 guys need training. They need to be brought up to speed. They need to be onboarded, they need all this stuff. So I just extended my development time from, 1 year to, and added 3 months for training and onboarding and all this stuff. It doesn't help. And then as you scale up, that problem grows. So I don't see how this fixes the issue, especially since seeing how everything played out, that wasn't the problem to begin with. The problem wasn't manpower. So adding manpower, it's the wrong solution to the issue.
All right, move on. Another story by CD Projekt Red, baby. Another one.
I went on mute.
Oh, go ahead, Brett. Go ahead. Say your thing.
I think you guys are basically saying the same thing, and I think everybody's actually in agreement. Just that, CD Projekt Red now has a bigger workload between fixing its game. There's no software to put it. Fixing its game and developing new game. That's more of a workload than anybody than they were expecting. So they had to bring on new people, not just to supplement their losses, but to help them cover the larger workload. That's the core of what I think you're both saying, actually. That sound about right?
What do you guys say, Brian, Chris?
Well, I'm not doom and gloom. I'm just saying that the failings of Cyberpunk looked like it was it was mismanaged. The project was completely mismanaged. There's too many expectations. There was unreasonable delivery dates and all that stuff. So that's where the failing was. So to me, adding manpower seems like the wrong issue. What's Brett saying? It's like, oh, they have a bigger workload. They're making a bigger workload. They're not fixing the issue. They're just adding manpower to say, okay, well, we'll just have more people. So that, and then we'll just do two projects simultaneously while fixing the initial game. The focus should be fixing the initial game. The initial game already has bad juju all over it, right? It has bad press. Sony, it's the only game to ever be removed from the PlayStation Store. You have to get past those hurdles and start to earn people's trust back.
Didn't you say that they're just going to turf it out to that studio? So then the question doesn't necessarily become...
That's my theory. I don't know that for certain. That's my theory.
I know. But my point is, it could also be a question of not how many people are developing, but who is developing. They can throw this, to fix this problem without, cutting into their future prospects. They're throwing this project on the side with new people that are going to basically be phased back into the company after this whole thing is resolved. That's at least what it looks like to me, and I think that's basically the same thing as adding more manpower,
right? But if you do that, right, let's say these guys are gems, they're like Blue Point, you give them Cyberpunk, they fix it, they not only shine up the turd, it's not a turd anymore, right? They completely fix the problems. Now you have hypothetical Witcher 4 comes out in the state that Cyberpunk's in right now because you didn't fix the initial problem. You see what I'm saying?
So it fixes it semi-short-term, but long-term, we're just going to have the same issue over and over again.
Right.
Yeah, it's tough to get people out of upper management is the problem.
Do you think when the game eventually shows up on PlayStation PSN, do you think it's going to be full price when that happens?
Who knows?
That's a good question.
It's a great question.
At some point, you would think, like we've seen this with certain games, when they're like, oh, we got to lower some expectations, and they'll put it at a sale for like a week or two. I'm just wondering, because by the time it comes out, who knows? I mean, I know it's been on sale multiple times on other.
I think it'll be a good idea if they bring it back for $40, but who the hell knows, man? Who knows?
It's a, what you call, PSN. It's a plus game.
Who knows, man? Be interesting. All right, let's move on. I got another story here about Cyberpunk's. So the proposed multiplayer game. I thought it was going to be like a multiplayer aspect to Cyberpunk. No, it was going to be a separate multiplayer game. That's been canceled officially. So,
did they say that it was cancelled? Because the stuff that I read was that they were reconsidering aspects of it.
I read that it was cancelled.
I never read that it was cancelled. Yeah. I just read that they were reconsidering it and it may be cancelled.
Yeah.
And then suddenly everyone just started saying that it is cancelled. So I'm like, did I miss something?
Yeah, because the headline I'm reading here, you know, maybe it's wrong. It says Cyberpunk 2077's multiplayer game has been cancelled.
Is it from Polygon or
Kotaku? Tech Radar.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, what do you guys think about that?
Yeah, cancel it. You know what? They really need to fix that game.
Yeah. Like this, and just focus on your main shit. Don't focus on this. You guys fucked up enough already. You know, stop it. You know.
It'll save you development time on Cyberpunk 2.
That's what I'm thinking.
2078, you know?
That's what I'm thinking, sort of. I'm thinking that, you know, they say the next chapter in Cyberpunk, maybe the idea is that it's going to be the work that they did on this online mode is probably rolled into some sort of massive multiplayer version of Cyberpunk, as opposed to making it the 2077 version.
Yeah.
Whatever the hell it is.
I'll be honest, it's probably a good thing that, from what I was understanding and the way it read, they were going for something unnecessarily ambitious. You know, it sounded like they were going to try and take on GTA and create, you know, like this big thing. And like, I've seen this happen with Warcraft enough times. When somebody tries to dethrone, you know, the king service game and take its place, and it never fucking works. And honestly, with seeing how the game actually released, I think that was a little bit ridiculously ambitious on their side. It was probably some promises made by management that the developers were like, you want us to fucking what now? Just make the greatest game ever that's a living simulation of a futuristic world that does everything that GTA does and more, and you promise this to the stockholders. Fucking fantastic. Like, I've been saying from the beginning, it seemed unrealistic.
Can I just jump in, like, really quickly?
Yeah, you can have it, man. I'm done.
Yeah, because one of the things I really hate about most gaming websites is that the headline is just full of shit. So in the headline, it says that the multiplayer has been cancelled as, like, a definite, like, fact. But yet, when you read into it and you actually read the quote taken from the person that said it, he says, given our more systematic approach, instead of focusing on one big online experience or game, we are focusing on bringing online into all our franchises day one.
Yeah, I'm guessing this is for future games then, that he's talking about.
So again, this is what I mean by, like, I've not read an official quote saying, like, from anyone in the company saying, yeah, we are not doing it. It's just been, we are rethinking it.
Yeah, it says reconsider, but reconsider could also mean cancel too. But obviously, you know why they're choosing that word, cancel, right? Because that's going to get the headlines. But let's just be real here. This shit's probably canceled. Let's just be real here. You know, let's just be real here. But the statement comes from CD Projekt Red. It doesn't come from somebody else. It comes from them, you know.
I am willing just to put my foot out there and I want to be a Brett on this one.
Uh-oh.
Uh-huh.
What's that supposed to mean?
A contrarian just because?
There we go, Tony. I knew Tony would get it. Thank you.
Somebody's got to stretch out the show.
I'll say that it is coming out. Just
okay.
Just just because. If I'm right, then I'm purely right based on wanting to say the opposite. If I'm wrong, then I don't care, since I'm saying it just for fun. So,
and you're, if it does come out, do you think it'll be as ambitious as the original plan was, or do you think it'll be a kind of a dialed back, more realistic proposal?
Most likely dialed back, given, well, it all depends on where it'll be. Because if they just come out and say, hey, it's next gen only, and screw the old consoles, then they have potential to, well, they have the hardware to live out what they need to do. So it could potentially be what they dreamt it up to be. Again, what they dreamt it up to be, not what people are expecting it to be. I consider that two different things.
Sure. I can see that. I don't know, I just don't think it's coming out in the GTA Online scale. Otherwise, yeah, sure, it's like a more dialed out thing. Or dialed down thing, sure.
So Brian, so your prophecy here, does that include Cyberpunk 2? If it comes to fruition via Cyberpunk 2, will your prophecy still remain?
No, this is solely for the first one.
Okay.
This is for 2077, not 2078.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, that'll be interesting because, this year it's not going to come out for sure. Next year, I doubt it. The year after, maybe. So it's like, at what point do they just move on to their big hitter? You know, The Witcher is going to be their next game. I think that's kind of guaranteed now. But who knows when they're going to start like going full force on that. And if they do, it's like, why mess with Cyberpunk multiplayer? What the hell is that going to do for you if you're going to put all your eggs into the Witcher basket, which is going to be, if they don't fuck up the Witcher, it's going to be a hit.
Well, maybe the idea is that they can have a online portion of the game that gives a continual revenue stream, kind of like how pretty much every online game does these days, where it trickles in the cash rather than one big drop at the start and then it dries up slowly.
Yeah, I mean, the revenue part, does fit. The development part is the part that kind of makes it a little bit more muddy to foresee. But we'll see. We'll see about that.
We'll see about that. But yeah, I'm just like, fix your shit first, bro. That's all I'm saying. Fix your shit.
How amazing would that be? How amazing would that online be? You know, with especially with falling through the world and all the other wonderful glitches that happened in that game. Now couple that with being online.
No,
not everyone will get to see it.
I give CD Projekt Red respect for trying to shoot to the moon, but they couldn't reach it. They just couldn't do it, you know. Sad. It's crazy, man. You know, it was jarring when I played GTA 5 with Chris and Carlos, like shortly after playing Cyberpunk, right? And I was like, okay, this game is fucking 7 years old and the city feels alive, the cars handle better. What the fuck? You figured a new game would have had these things like down pat, you know? Very interesting. I was like, well, like, obviously the graphics did it, but it's like, yo, this feels like Cyberpunk, like, it's sometimes you're like, yo, where's the people? Like, there's nobody out here. GTA, you always feel like, you know, you're around society and shit. I don't know, it's just weird how an old-ass game, you know, does that shit better. Kind of like how the graphics in the old Mass Effect games look better than Andromeda, you know?
Oh!
You gotta throw that dig in there, man. Fuck Andromeda. All right.
You digging?
Yeah. All right. Last story of the night here. Told you it's a slow week, people. All right. Ninja Gaiden 1 and 2 source code has been lost, or to be more accurate, unsalvageable. For you guys who don't know, they have a new Ninja Gaiden collection that's like a remastered version. And people are wondering, where the fuck is Ninja Gaiden Black? You know, 1 and 2 Black. Apparently, they couldn't salvage the source code. That's why you got Sigma instead. You know, I don't know the differences between these. I always know is some people think Black is better, but can't play them unless you're playing them backwards compatible on Xbox. You ain't playing them games, you know, which is kind of crazy. So, and this goes back to something we talked about even last week, where it's like some of these Japanese studios, they're just not careful with this stuff. You know, no, man, you have more insight into this about how.
Yeah,
some
there's
of this
not
stuff
a lost. lot of like how many studios have you heard the same story from? Right. Yeah. You saw it with Sega with Panzer Dragoon. You saw it with Square Enix that said like they for Kingdom Hearts, they literally had to pretty much remake the whole game over again.
Man.
You know, because of all the
I think it's Silent Hill 2 or something.
Silent Hill 2 and the crappy part of it was a company that wasn't familiar with it. So they're literally also, you know, doing a remaster while also fixing the game. It seems like a common issue with quite a bit of Japanese studios where they don't seem to have their access to their source code, or whoever was working there doesn't even remember where they put it. You would think to me, like, okay, yeah, you put like, you know, a true record keeping system. You'd be like, all right, you know, that's in cabinet B, you know, down one thing, like kind of like a library. But they don't even seem to do that. And yeah. I'm sure the only reason why Kojima was able to get his stuff out the way it was is because all the people that did his stuff when he was there were all still there, unlike maybe, you know, some guys like a team like Team Silent that was disbanded not long before the the Silent Hill remastered games came out, you know?
Yeah. That shit is crazy. So it's just sad. So yeah, that's why, because people were wondering why is the Black game's not on there. Now you know. So they got Sigma instead.
How much of Team Ninja is even still original Team Ninja?
I don't even know how many
of them did Itagaki take over to his new studio?
Yeah, I don't know. Who knows? Like Team Ninja, who's there now, is not the same Team Ninja that...
No, they're not. They're not the same. Maybe a few people are there. You know, maybe some of the top guys, but maybe all the other underling guys, they just said, all right, we're not doing this anymore.
Yeah. That's the thing about a lot of games. Like, people don't understand. It's like, 10 years past, that studio is very different now, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a rare occasion where you have everybody that's still intact. I would say, like, places like Nintendo, you're not going to hear anything like that.
No.
Right? They realize that their legacy is something they can actually make money off, so they better take good care of that stuff, of their final builds.
Yeah, you're right. You never heard about, I mean, Chris, I don't know if you have any insight, but I've never heard about Nintendo source codes being fucking lost, you know?
They'll just use pirated versions.
They do that, you know.
For the original, for the other things, yeah.
Or just emulate their 35th anniversary Super Mario All-Stars World or whatever that
3D and then pull it from the store.
Well, Nintendo like keeps a lot of stuff, but the thing is they misplace it. Like, so I don't know if you heard, like, there was all this leaked stuff that came from things either taken or sold from Nintendo of America. Like, somebody has the uncompressed recordings from Star Fox 64, like all the voice recordings.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's like, wow. Yeah, you know, and then somebody found another build of Ocarina of Time. It was on a development cartridge that they bought at an auction. So some employee must have had it and sold it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so that stuff like gets out. I mean, they usually keep everything, but they just lose track of it. So they're even guilty of that.
Yeah,
there you go. And it ends up in fans' hands, so people are dissecting Ocarina of Time again because there's another build of it.
Yeah, they're even Nintendo then, you know? That shit is wild.
Yeah.
All right, what games have we been playing lately? Let's go down the line here. Adam, what you been playing lately? Oh, he froze.
Uh-oh.
Oh, I got to blow my nose.
It's pressure, man.
Yeah. All right, Brett, since you're talking.
Oh, he is freezing.
Yeah, he's freezing. He's
choking.
Yeah, Brett, you go first then, man.
Oh. I've been playing Fallout 76.
Oh, back at it, or you never stopped?
Back at it. It's kind of one of the, when I talk about activity games, that's kind of one of those good examples. I finished the main storyline, and there's actually a pretty good main storyline, so I'm trying to finish the main quest line. There's three parts. I'm about to finish the first one.
Cool. All right, Adam, what about now? Sucker Free Sunday.
Retromania.
Oh, there you go.
Switch. Yeah, so it's all right. You hear me? Do you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you now. We hear you now, finally. Yeah.
Yeah, it's fucking my Discord's acting weird before. Shut up. But, Retromania on Switch. I'm playing that. That was the predecessor of WrestleFest, if you remember that from the arcades. And it's all right. It's all right. It's got a learning curve, which is crazy to say about an old school wrestling game that only had two buttons. But they added some more buttons. They added some Fire Pro style of mechanics when it comes to momentum. And it's cool because then there's other button. There's more moves that you can do up, left, right, depending on what your face buttons you're also holding. That's great. Tweak it up and stuff. But at the same time, it moves very fast. It's very arcadey, and it needs to be slowed down because it's like you're trying to like build space so that way you can figure out an idea, and the NPC is just running at you, and then there's a Royal Rumble mode, and you got everybody running in it. It gets real chaotic, and things can end real quick, and I get it, it's arcadey, but it shouldn't be that way. But anyway, it's still early. They can fix it, and I'm enjoying it. It's still fun. It's fun. So it's not on PSN yet, though. It's on Xbox. It's on PC. And it's on Switch, but for some reason, it's not on PlayStation.
Crazy.
Yeah, don't know what's up with that.
Yeah. All right, Manny, what you got?
I was playing a little bit of the game Rime. It's one of the PS Plus games that they got a while back. Fun thing about that game Rime is that it was going to be a PlayStation 4 exclusive. But something happened between the company and they ended up publishing the game on their own or, you know, somewhere else. So, yeah, interesting stuff. So, yeah, it's a cool game, though, you know, they sort of don't do a lot of explaining. They sort of do a lot of visual storytelling. But I have a feeling that there's going to be not like a twist, but I feel like the world seems too desolate. I almost feel like the character might be dead or something. Some sort of, or it's in his mind, or in the character's mind, or something like that. I feel like because there's just some things that that show up in the world. I'm like, huh, what's that about? So yeah, we'll see.
Crazy. All right, Carlos.
Well, this is gonna be a fast one. I haven't played anything.
Very interesting.
Very interesting. Not even Heroes of the Storm or chess or nothing, man. I mean. Maybe Monster Hunter this week. We'll see.
Yeah, I think that might go down, you know. Yeah, I'll go next time. I haven't played anything. It's been a while. But I will be playing Outriders. I got a review code, so I will be getting that to you guys next week. Here's the funny thing, right? Because I got the review code, and I'm like, all right, I'll start playing it like this weekend. Come to find out, today, the game released today, and the biggest April Fool's joke was that you couldn't play it online. It didn't work. The fucking thing didn't work online. But yeah, so I'll have that review for you next week, you know. But yeah, I haven't been playing anything. All right, Brian.
Oh, so I actually hopped back on my Switch the other day because it was gaining dust, so I thought I'd dust it off and play something. So I've been finishing off the Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle, basically the XCOM with Mario, and... it's surprisingly difficult, you know, for like something that's very like cutesy and, oh, it's very simple to pick up. It's Mario. And then you get through it and it's like, huh, this is actually quite difficult. I need to think about my loadouts and my weapons and weaknesses and stuff. So, yeah, it's fun. And that's about it. Nothing else.
Right. Really. Yeah, there are some Mario games that are kind of, I mean, I wouldn't say super difficult, but like Mario and Luigi All-Star, like those Mario and Luigi games, those were like you have to think about those games sometimes. And like Super Mario RPG and The Lost Worlds, like be surprised.
All right, Chris, what you got?
I played a little Monster Hunter. That's why I'm having the itch because
yeah, we got to go back.
I'm Big Man USA. I've been jumping into like high rank and low rank guys helping them out, you know? So,
oh, shit.
So I was doing that, and I got a trophy out of it. I didn't realize if you kill 500 monsters, you get a trophy. And the trophy is literally just called Monster Hunter.
That should be the platinum, you know?
Oh, my God. I don't know. I got the patience for that shit.
No, but, no.
Yeah, and then I once in a while, I'll fire up GTA. And the other day, I was... I don't know. I fired up Dark Souls 3 for some reason. I was like, I had a hankering, so I was like, I'll play this.
Like, I must play.
Well, Chris, remember next week is going to take up a lot of our time. There's something coming out next week.
What's coming?
Star Wars Republic Commando.
Oh, that's right.
On the 6th, that comes. Yes, I'm looking forward to that. So maybe I'll do a review on that one because that I can't wait. I'm just nervous because I haven't heard much of any of the changes. I'm feeling they're not tweaking or fixing anything. They're just spitting it out. So we'll see. But yeah, that happens April 6th.
Okay. Yeah, I'll play that. The original game is so good.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Unless you guys want to talk about some random gaming stuff, we'll probably be done for now. Again, slow week, people. Slow week. You know, but yeah, not really much else to say. Like, on my end, like, yeah, games are. Nothing's happening. Right now. There's no new games coming out. I know they got. Yeah, what's up?
Go watch Invisible.
Invisible, what's that?
Yeah.
Invincible?
Oh, come on, Invincible.
You mean Invincible?
I never heard of Invisible. What was that? Invisible?
Yeah, I was confused.
Go watch both.
Yeah, never heard of that shit.
Yeah, the comic was good.
Oh, yeah, Invisible?
No, we're not going. No, Adam, yeah, we're not going there again. We're not going there again.
Adam, you read the whole thing, though?
I read almost toward, I think it was the last trade is when I stopped, but... yeah,
that's where but there's a reason I didn't do it, Adam. This is not a spoiler. I know that if I read it, I know it's really over. It's gonna break my heart, man. Can't do it. Invincible. I love me some Invincible, man. So I'm so happy seeing people actually like having the same reactions I did when I read the fucking comics like all those years ago. You know, I feel like
20 years ago.
Yeah, basically, I feel like those motherfuckers that read the Ice and Fire books before everybody, seeing everybody's reactions to the Red Wedding. I feel like that, you know. Like, you know, when that first episode, I'm like, oh my God, I didn't see that come back. Oh, I saw that shit coming.
Remember that movie, Paul? I remember, was it Seth Rogen? Is that his name? And he was wearing an Invincible shirt. I was like, look at that.
Yeah, man. Yeah, Invincible's fucking awesome.
For a long time, yeah. So it's good to see that it finally it's getting its doing. I watched, I think, two episodes.
And they're doing it right. They're doing it right.
Yeah, too. That's what I'm saying. I'm glad that they didn't clean it up or anything.
Yeah, no.
You know, they let it get brutal. So.
Yeah. So a new episode's coming tomorrow, or today, actually. Today, it's
episode 4. Yeah, episode 4.
Yeah. I've only seen the first two. I'm taking my time. Like, I want to savor this shit, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's funny. What's interesting about it is that it's actually a pretty good time to sort of do this show because, I mean, what was Invincible initially? It was sort of like taking pot shots at the actual comics at the time.
Yeah.
It's animated. Not sure. It's animated.
But
it's
you're right about that because a lot of people on the a lot of people on my timeline.
Now superheroes.
They were like, oh, I thought this was some Justice League shit. Then I saw it was like, oh, okay. Exactly, mate.
Yeah.
It's subverting a lot of that stuff, you know?
Subverting a lot of that stuff, and it's at the perfect time to subvert all that stuff when superhero culture is so prevalent in pop culture currently.
Yeah,
it's just from the movies and stuff that they've put out.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. And Invincible is having the same impact on people now that it did when people read the comics. Remember, you read the comics the first couple of issues, like, oh, it's a love letter to superheroes, and it is a love letter to superheroes, but then it goes places. Well, this is still Robert Kirkman, you know.
Image, a lot of hardcore image readers got upset when they first saw it.
Nope, like,
you're supposed to not do any of these superhero shits. What are you doing?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Keep reading. And then that's when I'm like, oh we get it. Oh,
I remember one of the jokes is because if you look at his costume, it's an eye, right? And people are like, oh, he's Image Boy. Mm-hmm. That's what they thought he was. You know?
Yeah.
He's Image Man.
Yeah, no, but the you know, I mean, the show is probably going to do a lot of it too. But I remember there's this one specific scene in the comic, right? You know, not big spoilers, but every superhero on Earth got together to thwart an alien threat, right? And they're all just standing, just like 30 motherfuckers, Invincible, looking around. It's like, you know, we really look stupid when we're grouped up together like this, you know? And it's true. It's like they have these stupid costumes and shit, you know? Oh, man, I can't wait. My only hope is I hope Amazon does the whole series, man. Like,
we don't know ratings. I don't know.
Yeah, ratings, you know, we don't know. I don't know how ratings work with digital shows, but I hope they do the whole series. Don't cut nothing. Like, do it right, you know? Because so far they're doing fantastic, you know?
I'm hoping they make that. That got picked up. I forgot who it is. Somebody fucking owns it.
That should be
which one?
Why the Last Man.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Somebody picked it up. I'll find it. But they've been sitting on it. I know, for example, the Thief of Thieves, that series, that's another Kirkman. That one, AMC picked up TV rights to produce a show years ago and did nothing with it so far. They just have the rights.
What is that other Kirkman thing? It's like Dead something? I don't know. It looks like...
You worked on the dinosaur one. What was that? The robot dinosaur? I've worked on the dinosaur. Oh, okay.
No.
What was the kid with the robot dinosaur? That was a Kirkman one. Super Dinosaur. Did that. Yeah.
Oh, no, Rugrats. I never worked on Super Dinosaur.
Tech Jacket.
Yeah, Tech Jacket.
That's the one I worked on.
Didn't Kirkman also do like a werewolf thing, I remember?
Oh, Astonishing Wolfman.
Astonishing Wolfman.
And then the one that was on, was it Showtime that got canceled?
Outcast.
That's the one I was thinking about, Adam. That's the one I was thinking about.
That one. It started off strong, but then it just, in the comic itself, it all fizzled out, and they got picked up real quick to TV. I mean, I think it was only like 6-7 episodes in, and next you know it was on TV.
Damn, more issues. That's crazy. Well, yeah,
there wasn't even a lot of comics around. I think there were like issue 2 or something like that, and they're like, oh, we got optioned.
Yeah,
but I feel like a lot of that is because of the Walking Dead stuff. People were scrambling to get whatever Kirkman was pulling out, so they're like, "Oh man, he's doing a new comic."
The actor, I forgot his name, the guy who plays Data from TNG, he was there.
Oh, Brent Spiner.
Yeah, he was there as Satan. I was like, see him working again. It was cool.
That's crazy.
I'm Satan. Yeah.
Wait, what?
Oh, he does that weird
voice. Yeah, what show is this?
It was on the Outcast, the Robert Kirkman one, with the demon and possessions and stuff like that. And that's that was on Showtime, and it got canceled. The second season or third season, somewhere along the lines, yeah, and then they just canceled it.
All right, man. I guess we are done here. So, Manny, do you have anything to plug, sir?
I got the usual stuff. What is it? Darkest Night Death Metal, which is coming out really soon. Again, I keep saying it's coming out the 10th. It's the graphic novel version of it. It has stuff that collects all the different death metal, crossover stuff that happened pretty recently at DC. I got a new one that I can't really talk about that I'm working on right now. As always, excellence is real. So, the issue 11 is coming. Then we got the Excellence Kickstarter, which we were successful with. So y'all who decided to get one, you're going to get a really pretty looking edition of the book with some new content that's going to be inside of it. So it's going to be all great. So yeah, great stuff. Thanks.
Adam, what you got?
Tomorrow we will post the big one for another episode of I Am Negan, because this one's all about Negan. It's his backstory. We waited forever for this, and this is it. We're finally getting it, and hopefully it's good. So what?
So was this something that was adapted from the comic?
No. There's a whole new origin?
They're
doing their own little thing. They're just spilling off a little more that we did not know from the comic, which is cool, because it's a whole other chapter, and this is what a lot of fans of the series want to see when we heard stories of spinoffs. So, like, do a Negan spinoff, because... toward the end, and that's a whole other thing from the end of the show, but we'll talk about it next time. But anyway, this is it. So next episode of I Am Negan, we will be talking spoilers. So watch it, or if you don't give a shit about watching it, go ahead and just listen. We'll talk about it and spoil it for you. So I Am Negan on Spotify, YouTube, The Coalition. Thanks again. We have been getting a lot of subs, especially on Spotify, which is always surprising when I see that number come up. And it's cool, because as you know, we can't see comments or anything on there. And now no one can do anything. So it's just funny just to see, like, bing, bing. I was like, okay, well, that's great, but you can't really do it. Like, you can do that on iTunes. We're also on iTunes. But anyway, it's cool. I Am Negan. Go check it out.
Cool. All right. Just a quick heads up. I will not be on the latest episode of Falcon and the Winter Soldier, the spoiler show over on the Coalition. I was originally going to be there. We don't know what's happening. Some of us on Throwdown will also be doing the Godzilla spoiler alert over there. I believe it's Chris and Carlos are going to be on that one. I'll try to be there if I can. Family decided, we're going to come over this weekend. Like, bruh. you know. So we'll see what happens, but be on the lookout for that stuff, man. Godzilla, you already see my rant tweets on hype tweets on Twitter. You know, love that fucking movie. You know, just don't go into that movie expecting human drama, bro. Like, humans are just there for one thing, just to get the monsters to where they need to be to fight, you know. And it is glorious, glorious, you know. By the way, my boy won, but I'm not saying who. I'm so, you know, I'll leave it at that. You know, technically, on a technicality. on a technicality, bro. All right, man, we're done here. So thank you all for hanging out with us on Throwdown. You already know. Be sure you follow us on Twitch and Twitter. Subscribe on YouTube and check out the Discord, because it's always popping. And Mob Hits will always give you some crazy-ass rumors, you know. You can find us on any podcast app like Spotify and Apple, you know, by searching for Throwdown Show. And you can visit throwdownshow.com, which is our audio boom, where you can check out past episodes. If you're checking us out on YouTube, make sure you hit like, subscribe, and hit the bell if you liked this episode. Links to everything down below. Once again, our show is Tony Polanco, and tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you later, guys.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Brett Murdoch.
It's been a pleasure.
Adam Vale.
BioWare needs to make, I forgot the name of the show I'm fucking watching. It's about for all mankind. Turn that shit. Forget about Mass Effect. Turn that shit into a game. Oh, my Lord.
And Brian Majoma.
There you guys. Take care.
All right, people. See you on Sunday. Peace out.
Laters.
Leave this.